I wonder if you've ever asked this question or anyone has ever asked it of you. And I thought maybe I would talk a little bit about it since this is the season that Jesus goes to the cross, right? Like, why did he have to die? Why would one man's offering be sufficient for all? And then, why would God, who is loving, and the scripture actually says is love, send anyone to hell? Do you ever ask that question? So what kind of love is this and what kind of God is this? We're looking at something that seems out of balance, if you ask me. It seems like for people not to accept Christ, that's a big deal. Especially if you understand everything involved. But for people to spend their life in sin, doing some good things and some bad things, is the punishment of hell really fair? From Exodus 21:24, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, life for life. That was the standard in the Old Testament. So if someone were to commit murder, then their life was to be taken. If someone cut off an arm, then their arm was to be cut off. If someone stubbed your toe, then you had to stub their toe. Okay? But eternity, I don't think we can comprehend eternity. How about hell for maybe 10,000 years? Lake of fire, gnashing of teeth, wailing, weeping, in outer darkness, sharing it with the devil and his demonic horde. 10,000, that's good. You ought to be ready to come out of there by now, right? Seems like that's, okay, 1,000,000 years for the really bad. Okay, 13.7 billion. When is it enough? Eternity? Eternity. Hell. Wow. I think that's out of balance. Anybody here think that's out of balance? You all think it's fair? Spend eternity in hell for missing Jesus or doing bad stuff? Wow. How could a loving God do that? Here's Acts 17. Truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So God's command is for everybody to come to Christ. God's command is for everybody to turn away from their sin and to receive the grace of his salvation. I have some questions for you about this question. Why would a loving God send anyone to hell? I've got four questions for you. Why would God send anyone to hell? That's number one. Why would God born anyone into this world without knowing him? Did you ever think about that one? Why are we all born not knowing him? Why would a loving God allow death? Come on, these are serious questions, right? And then why would a loving God allow suffering, violence, sickness, and disease? Something's out of whack. Something's not right. God is love. That's what the scripture says. Why are all of these things going on? If anyone would just try to answer one of those questions, you're going to run into serious issues. It should be a wake-up call. We shouldn't just be living our lives la-di-da, going to movies and watching them on TV, going to sports and participating in them, eating at all the restaurants and just living our life, having kids and growing up and whatnot. And these questions go unanswered for many people. If God is love, and God would allow these things, what kind of love is that? Maybe we should look at what love is, or address it along these lines. Do love lie? Where's my editor? no love lie. It's amazing what you don't see, isn't it? I don't believe love lies, not true love. I know we've got the worldly kind of love that pretty much will excuse and avoid grief. That's the big one, right? We have relatives that won't tell other relatives things because they don't want to receive the grief of telling them the truth. So it's avoid grief. You're doing yourself a favor. Don't tell them the truth. You know, after all, they can't handle it, so maybe you're doing the loving thing. Who are you loving? Right? So does love lie? And I would say love doesn't lie. In fact, the scripture says God searches for truth in the innermost parts of our being, even to swear to our own harm. And God cannot lie. Now, I find that mind-boggling because it's so easy to lie. I know. You haven't done it much, but you have done it at least once, right?
Once.
All right. Does love prevent choice? You know, in the marketplace, we have monopolies, and we call that wrong. In the marketplace, we have deception, and we have intrusion, and we have all kinds of things that go on that we look at and say, well, you're kind of manipulating things, and that's not right. I can't wait to grow up and be manipulated, right? I can't wait to be deceived. And I can't wait for all of my choices to be taken away. That's not how we feel. Love doesn't take away choice. Does love keep others down, ignorant, or as prisoners, making them like puppets? Now, some parents will live through their children so much so that their children never really grow up. The apron strings phenomenon. They never really grow up to be adults. It's always mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, that kind of thing. Smothering their children, never letting them go, never letting them become like them, an adult. We look at that and we say, that's not good, right? Most of you. So keeping them down. And as a society, we abhor slavery in most cases, except for marriage, right? I'm kidding. And we know that some people are born into servitude in this world, and in some societies people are not treated equal. We don't think of that as good. That's not loving. Does love give only to take it back? I've often used the example of giving my daughter a car. And she goes out and gets into trouble. She robs a bank or something. I wouldn't want her to do that. I'm taking the car away. So I didn't really give her the car in the first place, did I? It was conditional. But if I give it to her and she's the owner, she can do whatever she wants to. She can run over squirrels and cats and dogs and stuff. Love doesn't give and then take it back. You with me? Does love enforce its will on another? I use the word enforce because it really reminds me of law enforcement. Aren't you grateful that we have policemen? Not when you're speeding, of course. But law enforcement keeps order, keeps peace. And we want those that would want to do us harm to be arrested, right? So there's times in your family when your children were doing things that might have hurt another child, and you stepped in and you enforced evil? Or did you stop evil? And it's love that enforces to protect and to keep peace and to stop and to arrest evil. It's loving. Our policemen our military should be honored? Does love treat others in a way that they would not want to be? I think that's pretty obvious. It's unloving to treat others in ways that you would not want to be. There's your standard. So all of these are kind of characteristics of love, right? True love. Not wishy-washy love. Not love that's relative. Not love that makes it up as it goes. But real love. What kind of love do we believe in? That the facts don't matter? Just say it the way you want it to be? You do wrong, but you never acknowledge it? I mean, there's a lot of that denial going on around these days. Just denial. As long as I don't admit to it, I'm not guilty of it. I mean, there's a lot of that going around. The facts don't matter? Does love not care how other people live? How other people are treated? I mean, I think it would all do us a world of good to spend 1 week in a third world condition. Go visit another country and live the way they do for 1 week. If you stay 2 weeks, you get extra points. Does love care? You care how your children live. You care how your loved ones live. What about other people? Lives for the moment and is not responsible or accountable for tomorrow. Is that loving? Doesn't love look ahead and see what's going to come down the path? Doesn't love look ahead and take account and say, well, I can't do that because this will happen? That's loving. It's unloving to say, I don't care what happens. I'm just going to take care of me. I'm going to enjoy myself. And come hell tomorrow, I don't care. That's not loving. Does not care how others live. Does not care what responsible actions or facts are involved. What kind of love do we believe in? Why would a loving God send anyone to hell? How about this? God won't lie to us. He won't take away our ultimate choice. He's not going to keep us in ignorance or as prisoners or puppets of his love. God will not take back what he's given if we decide to take a different direction. God will not force his ways upon us, but he will enforce the truth. God will not treat us in a way he would not want to be. You know, if you're going to give human beings dominion like God has it, all of these things come into play. We don't get to decide a lot of things. Did you ever notice that? How many of you have decided where and when you were going to be born? How you were going to, that you were male or female? Or what your talents would be? Or what you would look like? How about the country you would be born in? How about the economy that was going on at the time of your raising? How about the political landscape? How about the school you went to? I mean, if you think about it, there's a lot of things you don't decide about, right? The one thing we get to decide about in truth is, what do we do with his Christ? We get to decide that. A God of integrity, love and character, truth and holiness will send unrepentant, disobedient, rebellious, willful, defiant, unloving, totally self-centered, ungrateful, disrespectful, and arrogant sinners to hell. And he will do it in pure righteousness. And he will do it knowing that he has done everything that he possibly can to save us. Oh, he could do more. He could send his son into the world. He could do more. He could have him die on the cross for us. He could do more. He could have him scourged and beaten for all of our sins. Right? He could do more. What more could he do? And when you and I become born again, and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what more can he give us? What more can he give us? Is there anything lacking in Jesus? wrath of God. The suffering, pain, beating, scourging, crucifixion of Christ occurred because of the wrath of God's love towards evil, sin, and disobedience. Don't tell me there has never been a time in your life when you were righteously angered because of your love to defend someone you loved. Someone's attacking your child, you're going to sit there and say, too bad. Go for it. Or are you going to stand up and say, not on my watch? Any righteous anger there? Anyone? You're going to stand up for the weak? You're going to stand up for those that are needing help? Protect? Defend? These are holy things. Hebrews 10:29. Consider, this is the opinion of God's word toward those who reject Jesus Christ and what God did to bring him into the world. Consider, this is God's opinion on the matter. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Any religion that teaches that the cross of Jesus Christ didn't happen, is a common thing, has no significance. This is the wrath of God on that religion. God went to great lengths to create the world we're living in. He set up this, I tell you, if I'd have been there when he was deciding to do all of this, I'd have said, Lord, don't do it. It's not worth it. Look at all of the pain and suffering, all those that are going to be lost. Don't go there. Just make us angels like the rest of them and we'll be happy. But in his wisdom and in his game plan, it was worth it for him to create the world we were born into. There's something huge going on here. That God would allow all of the nonsense to go on just to save you and to save me. Wow. That should be a wake-up moment. Oh my gosh. And for him to have gone through all of that trouble, to allow all of this nonsense to go on for 6,000 years, provide prophecies of some 300 or so to be fulfilled in Christ, and make a complete and utter distinction, clearly visible to anybody who's willing to see, and then make people born again in ways that no other religion can provide, and then turn around and say, Jesus was just a good man. His cross means nothing. Do you know where that's coming from? That's coming from the pit of hell. Your salvation and mine depend on this and nothing else. And if you and I don't reverence it and come to him and surrender, we are thought of great punishment for treating the Son of God. He didn't send a servant. He didn't send a third party. He came himself. Man. And then you don't accept it? You don't search it out? I was sitting with someone recently and they said, oh yeah, I spent a year looking through all of this stuff. I watched debates between atheists and Christians, and they both had good points, and I'm not sure what the truth is. And I sat down and said, have you ever heard of prophecy? Have you ever heard of the signs, wonders, and miracles? Which he did in multitudes. And the prophecies, more than anything, distinguish, because no one else has any. And he looked at me and he said, no, I never heard that. What do we say to someone who gets caught and pulled over for speeding in an area, and they turn to the officer and they say, I didn't know what the speed limit was. What do we say to such a person? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Oh my gosh, do you hear what I'm saying now? Ignorance of the cross is no excuse. We willfully love darkness rather than light. We willfully accept and settle for things we know aren't quite right. I'm talking about we, people, humanity. And we will live under the rule of something we know isn't right. Ignorance of the cross is no excuse. The scripture says that the grace for salvation has been revealed to everyone. Yet you and I will accept people's excuses, right? Well, they never heard. You know what's so crazy about this world? Is that God's dominion is so true and his love characteristics so real that he would allow himself to be defamed, lied about, misrepresented, and possibly be rejected by you. He would allow that. Now tell me that's not true love. Tell me that's not being faithful to his word. Tell me. I'll tell you what. When I consider these things that I'm sharing with you, I bow. I surrender. I say, oh my God. Your love is amazing and true that you would let all of this go on so you could reveal your son and save me. I bow to that kind of love. I think that is the greatest kind of love, the purest kind of love. Would a loving God send anyone to hell? If you've done everything you can do and they won't accept that, what are you going to do? I thought about this. Why have a hell at all? Why not just annihilate those who don't cooperate? Just not exist anymore. Oh, you don't want Jesus? You don't want to come into my kingdom? Boop, you're gone. You don't exist anymore. Just stop them from being. Don't send them into hell where they'll be conscious for eternity, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness forever and ever and ever and ever. And ever, 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 and ever. Why not just annihilate them? Just don't let them exist anymore. Love doesn't lie. I gave you life, and that life is forever. You choose where you're going to be. I've already decided. I want you all. But you must come into my kingdom on my terms. I don't want unsafe people in my kingdom. Do you want unsafe people in your home? I know they're your family. I get that. I mean the other unsafe people. You're not going to allow the terrorist in your house. You're not going to allow the rapist. You get my point, right? You don't want unsafe in your home. God doesn't want it in his kingdom either. And you won't stand for it. He's holy. We've already seen a world with sin in charge. Anybody not seen it? Open your eyes. Why would God's love send anyone to hell? I hope I've been able to explain something that makes sense to you. So that you can be convinced when someone says to you, why would your loving God send anyone to hell? You send them down and say, you got a few minutes? Let's talk about love. Does love lie? Does love take away choice? You see? Does love care if people are hurt? I think we can all see clearly that God is holy and just. And for his amazing and ultimate purpose in allowing this world to be created and that there is a hell at all. Do we get to decide whether there's a hell or not? No. Do we get to decide a lot of things? No. He born us into this world. He put blessing and cursing in front of us. He put the cross in front of us and he says, Now you must decide. We can't sit there and say, I don't want to play this game. I don't want to play this game. I can't walk away. I have to play this game. There's no way out of it. You have to play. You were born to play. You don't get to. You can commit suicide and get yourself out of the game, but you didn't get yourself out of the choice. Now you made the wrong choice. We're in serious business, aren't we? Very serious business. If anyone asks you that question, boy, do you have an opportunity. Yes? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the truth and how it penetrates our being. And we're so grateful that we have come to know you. And we made the right choice in a crazy, serious situation. And I'm grateful. And I pray that our compassion for others will be awakened. And we will be prepared to give an answer for such questions like these, to help those in darkness find the light and find their Christ and ours. Amen. Adele, come on up. We're going to have our communion.